Before we turn to our study in Hebrews, I want to set the plate. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to ask you to mark your Bibles because we're going to jump back and forth a couple of times, not often, but a couple of times between Hebrews and Genesis. But I want to look at two verses to start right off with. Now remember, we're looking at a host of witnesses. The Lord has inspired Paul, writing to the Hebrews, to give us a list. As it says in chapter 12, we are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. And what are they witnesses of? Of faith, belief, not just in the Lord Jesus, but in the Word of God. See, folks, Jesus is God, right? So the Word of God is from Jesus himself, is it not? So as we read in the Old Testament scriptures, we're reading about Christ and him there just as well as we are in the New Testament. We're talking about faith in him, faith in God, believing God's word. And it says, and let me repeat this for you from Hebrews 11. Don't turn there yet. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we're going to read about one of those saints here this morning, but I want you to see a little bit about him before we do that. Look at verses 5 and 8 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Has it ever been anything else since the days of Adam and Eve? The wickedness of the people in the earth has always been great. Any wickedness against God is great. He can't even look upon sin. But he saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, and he repented, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And here's what I want you to see. Look at this. Check this out. Polly, do you know you found grace in the eyes of the Lord?
Yes.
Every single one of us have. Here, let's look what it says about one of God's people right here. But Noah. So the Lord is talking about all the men that walked this earth there in verses 5 through 7. And then he tells us about this one. But Noah, one, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you know that Noah is the first time the word grace is used in scriptures? Here in this story of Noah? I mean, we know that God's love towards anybody is graciousness. I'm not saying grace is not spoken of. I'm saying this is the first time God uses that word. Just to remind us. I know you already know this, but just to remind us, what does grace mean? Unmerited favor. Adam didn't do anything to deserve God's love. In fact, Adam was trying to hide himself from God in the garden, wasn't he? He was trying to hide himself. He was trying to cover his own nakedness, wasn't he? That's what self-righteousness is all about. Trying to hide ourselves from God, trying to hide ourselves from his wrath through something we have done. The whole world, including Noah. Wait a minute now. Don't you talk about Mary that way. Do you know Mary was just as much of a sinner as Noah was? You say that to a Catholic, boy, they'll come unglued on you. Don't you talk about Mary that way. She's holy. No, she's not. In the flesh, she was no holier than any one of us. In the spirit, they're absolutely correct. For you and I, in the spirit, are as holy as God himself. Because of what Christ has done. So we see here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this being the first time the word is used, as it is recorded in Scripture, the first time we meet with this blessed word in the Bible. And it comes at a time of universal corruption. That's what we just read, verses 5 through 7. Everything, universal means all of it. The whole world was full of the corruption of man. And God looked down and he saw there were none that seeketh after him. So I'm going to destroy it all. We're going to look a little deeper into that in a moment. When God said that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, that's what we read in 6:5, no doubt Noah was included in all the wicked that walked this earth. If it wasn't true, then why would he need grace? If there was anything at all that was righteous of Noah in the flesh, why would he have needed to be found? Why would he need to find grace in the eyes of God? Why would God need to be gracious to him? Noah found grace, but it was not in the eyes of, not in something of him that he had done. It was not something that he could have earned. He did not find grace in his own eyes. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means that the Lord was being gracious, and God opened the eyes of Noah to see it in God himself. Let me give you an example of how the Lord uses this in some other scriptures. Thou hast found grace in my sight, saith the Lord to Moses, and I know thee by name. That's in Exodus 33:17. He said unto Mary, fear not. The angel said unto Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor, thou hast found grace with God. That's in Luke 1:30. Go thy way, he said unto Ananias concerning Paul, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel, a vessel of mercy, a vessel of grace unto me. That's in Acts 9:15. In verses 3 of Ephesians 1, listen to these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Folks, that means grace. Do you catch that? That may not be the word grace, but it's definitely grace when God is blessing somebody for something. He blesses us for the out of, and then and here it goes on to say it, in heavenly places in Christ. He blesses us for Christ's sake. That's grace. All spiritual blessings flow through Christ. That goes for the Old Testament saints as well as the New. Now let's consider our text in Hebrews 11, if you would. And we're not going to be able to cover all of what we see here in this verse. We're going to look at verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. We're going to have to come back and do a part B next week. But look with me here at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. So we know that God came to Noah, and we'll look at that in a moment when we go back to Genesis again. Hopefully you marked your Bibles. God came to Noah and he warned him about what was going to happen. So we see here, this is what it is talking about. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear. He heard the word of God. And God had given him a heart, just as he has given you and I a heart. When we say, I believe this word, it's because God has given us the gift of faith, just like he gave Noah. That's what it's saying there, by faith. In other words, because Noah believed God, when God had came and warned him of the things not seen yet, he moved without fear. He went about his daily walk, doing the thing that God had told him to do, because he knew something was going to happen. Folks, we know that God is going to come again, don't we? And I know some of you folks who are getting closer to that door, maybe, are thinking to yourself, Lord, well, just like our brother Mike said out here on the porch, don't forget my number, waiting on the call. I'm waiting on the call, Lord. Just you can call me today. I'll be just fine with that. Folks, the Lord is coming again. Either in person, in the clouds, in chariots of fire, when the last saint is called out of darkness, or he may just take you today. Or he may just take me today. We'll be in the presence of the Almighty Creator of all things. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about believing him. Noah believed God when God told him of things that had not happened yet. And therefore he prepared. He was moved with fear and prepared an ark to say to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? By faith. Believing God. Believing God. Noah was warned. He was warned of God of things that had not seen as of yet. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. That's what he told Noah. My spirit will not always strive with men. For that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be his 120 years. Speaking of Noah. Now, look over, if you would, at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Noah's faith was the response of his heart. It was the response of his heart to God's word. God told Noah that his Holy Spirit would not always strive with men, that his long suffering is for an appointed time only. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, God will not always strive with men. Yes, we can be thankful for his long suffering with the wicked. But he only suffers with the wicked for this reason. He has chosen people throughout this time, throughout the world, that he's chosen to save. And he can't end all of his creation until those have come. His son laid down his blood, shed his blood for them. They must be saved. All that the Father giveth me must come unto me, is what his word says. Noah, could you imagine? I've thought about this often. It's hard to think of this because you and I have seen rain, but could you imagine that all you've ever seen? Have you ever been back east to Kentucky or Tennessee? You know how, have you seen how thick the dew is in the morning back there? I mean, if you get a little bit of it out here. We get a little bit of it, but not like they do back there. If you go out in the fall or the spring in Alabama and you walk out there, I don't care what kind of shoes on, you're going to get wet feet. Unless you've got just rubber boots on, you're going to get wet feet because it gets wet quick. The dew is just, it's something unbelievable. Well, that's the way the world was at one time. The whole world was fed by the mist of God. It hadn't rained yet. So here's Noah, and it's hard for you and I to picture this because we've seen rain, but folks, there's some folks at one time who had never seen it. You crazy. You're absolutely nuts. God ain't going to come and destroy the world with rain and flood. What does that word even mean? Well, that means the clouds will open up and dump water, and the waters beneath the earth will open up and everything will flood. You're crazy. Our our Lord warned Noah of this coming? He is warned of these things, has he not? Do we not have his warnings right here? Today, folks, is the day of salvation. Today. Salvation belongs to all who trust Christ. But if you will not trust Christ, then you must be forever damned. What a merciful God. He has given us his word in a book, in book form, to warn us of the wrath to come. The impending wrath, the eternal wrath, the inexpressibly horrible wrath, his infinite wrath throughout all time. That should scare you. Look over at Romans chapter 23, or chapter 3. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 23. Our Lord tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now turn over to chapter 6 of that same book, Romans chapter 6. Look at one verse over there with me, if you would. Again, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, and here's to those who belong to the Lord Jesus, those for whom he laid his life down, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There you go. That relieves God's people of our fear of damnation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Look at one more. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Try to keep it into the book of Romans there so you can change verses real quick. Back in Romans chapter 1, we see over in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. These are warnings God has given to the people who walk this earth, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does the book say? It is written, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's in Ezekiel 18:20. Noah's generation, Sodom, Korah, and his followers all stand as beacons of warning to sinners. Isn't that what Noah was going about doing? Warning sinners. Warning the world. The wrath of God is coming. Divine judgment is coming. In Luke 13:5, we read these words, repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Is that not the warnings that God is sending out into the world? It says that Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Let me tell you something, folks. He was not moved by fear for himself. He was moved by fear for those he loved. Do we not all have some that we love dearly who don't know this Lord? The sovereign, almighty creator of all that is? He who by himself, through his love, saved his people? Noah was moved by fear for his loved ones, for the world. He didn't hesitate to preach righteousness to those around him. You don't have any. There's only one righteousness you can trust in, and that's the Lord Jesus. That was the message. It's the message every time. The wrath of God is coming, and if you're not as righteous as God himself, it'll be poured out on you. If you don't have a substitute like God's people have, those who are chosen in Christ, if you don't have a substitute who took the wrath for you, you're going to have to experience it. He was moved by fear for his family, his neighbors, those who were yet rebels to God, and he feared for the souls of men. Had Noah been like the regular, like most regular men, maybe he would have said this. Maybe he would have said, God is merciful. He loves everybody. He's not really going to send men to hell. Or maybe he would have said this, there'll be a time enough to repent later. I'm kind of busy right now. I'm going to go home and take care of something. I need to help my dad do something. I need to do this. Isn't that the way of the world?
Yes.
No, if he was the way of the world, he could have said it this way. I'm not bad enough that God would send me to hell. But no, it was not senseless. He was not so foolish. He was moved with fear. Perhaps you're thinking, why frighten us, John? You know that fear will not save a sinner. I do. That's true. Fear is not going to save you. It is the goodness of God that leads any to repentance. Did you hear that? It's the goodness of God that any would be led to repentance. Only the love of God in Christ Jesus can melt a sinner's heart. Only the love of God in Christ Jesus can draw us unto Christ, can constrain us to believe. But one will never be drawn to Christ by the cords of love until one is driven from their carnal security by the fear of God and His impending wrath. How am I going to know about the love of God if I don't know about the reason He hates what I am in the flesh? How am I going to see the depth of His love for me if I don't see the depth of His hatred for sin? Noah is held before us as an example of faith in Christ. His name means rest or resting place. Here the Holy Spirit is telling us that Noah found rest for his soul by faith. In Genesis 6, we're told that all the world was lost, cursed of God, and sentenced to suffer the wrath of God because of man's sin and his apostasy from God. Yet God was justly angry with all men and determined to rid the world of wretched flesh. And He did it by the flood of His wrath. But in wrath, in His anger, in His justice, He remembered what? He remembered mercy. What did we read in verse 8? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One for whom God had made a covenant and determined to fulfill that covenant in, God was gracious to. All men deserved God's wrath, but one man was chosen. All men were condemned, justly condemned, but one man was justified. All men went astray from God, but one man was called. All men were lost, but one man was saved. All men were unbelievers, but one man had faith given to him, and Noah found grace, not merit, but grace in the eyes of the Lord. There is always going to be a remnant according to the election of grace. Now let's consider just a couple of quick points before we bring this to a close. First off, Noah received a divine gift. His gift is faith. Just like ours, it's a gift and the operation of God's grace upon him. And that's what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, isn't it? For by grace we are saved through faith. So the faith that Noah had is the same gift that you and I have. It's the same true saving faith, and it's something that is bestowed upon and chosen redeemed sinners by God's saving grace. Faith in Christ is not the cause of God's salvation, but you know it's a part of it because it's through faith. Next, we see that it was a divine revelation. Noah's faith was the result of God's revelation and His purpose of grace towards him. Turn back again to Genesis, if you would, for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 6, look at verses 13 through 14. Genesis 6, 13 through 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Look at verses 18. But with thee I will establish my covenant. Isn't that what I just said a moment ago? Here you go, the Lord's word telling us right here. He has established his covenant in Noah. He couldn't destroy Noah. If he destroyed Noah and all of his family along with the rest of the world, then there wouldn't be any covenant left, would there? Did not God the Father give God the Son a people? Did not God the Son say, I will save this people? Did not God the Spirit say, I will call and give life to this people? That covenant has to be fulfilled, folks. It's a covenant of God. And here our Lord tells us plain as a bold picture, but with thee, with Noah, I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Now look over at verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Faith arises from, is built upon, and believes God's revelation. Faith is no more and no less than believing God's word. God told Noah what he was about to do, and Noah believed him. And lastly, we see Noah's faith as an example. His faith is held before us by God the Holy Spirit and his example of how sinners are saved through faith. We are told that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, here is a picture of faith. God help us to see it and obey the example that he has set before us. As Noah fled into the ark, which he had prepared, we must flee into the ark, Christ Jesus. If we would be saved, the only way sinners can obtain that salvation, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, is by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Next week, we're going to take a closer look at the ark, part B of verse 7.